Well, we entreat the Spirit of the Lord to meet with us this morning and to teach us and to help us to become more like Him. I believe the Lord's real interested in blessing every one of our lives. Real interested. I want to think a little bit this morning about Daniel, and Daniel 6 and 3. Maybe we'll read just a little bit here about this man Daniel that was cast in the lion's den, and we've heard that story so many times. But it says here, then this Daniel was preferred among the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know, I have to believe that Daniel did not find himself in this place without finding plenty of places to have fault. I assure you this morning that these men that came against him first approached him. They first tried to defile him. We find that back at the very beginning. We find these men, the three Hebrew children. We find Daniel, those of the Hebrew captives that were in Babylon, at Babylon. We find them being faithful from the start. And so Daniel did not suddenly have an excellent spirit. But Daniel had some qualities about him that opened this door for him that nothing else could have. God opened this door for Daniel. But I will tell you, I believe Daniel had to have some character qualities in his life for God to be able to do that. Now, we studied this subject a little bit last Sunday night, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to go on even then. And we'll do some recapping. But I'm thinking about this excellent spirit that Daniel had. And I looked up in Webster's the word excellent, because that's what Hebrew word or whatever, that's what that word meant. Part of the meaning is excellent. And he had an excellent spirit. And Webster says, being of great virtue or worth. I'm going to skip around here a little bit, but eminent or distinguished for what is amiable, valuable, or laudable. As an excellent man or citizen, an excellent judge or magistrate. Being of great value or use, applied to things. If you used excellent in applying it to things, you might say remarkable for good properties, excellent timber, excellent farm, an excellent horse, excellent fruit. That's what Webster says about it. And I think about that term, an excellent spirit, that would have to affect every part of Daniel's life. It didn't just affect his prayer life, or it didn't just affect the fact that he was honest with his people. It affected everything. It was who he was. And this morning, I feel like the Lord just wants us to draw a little contrast and first think about what an excellent spirit is. A little contrast between an excellent spirit and a limiting factor in our lives. An excellent spirit would be someone that would be honest, wouldn't they? You know, people that are honest and conscientious in their work, they make the best kind of tradesmen. They make the best kind of mechanics. They make the best kind of white-collar workers. They make the best kind of business owners. People that are honest, people that are conscientious, people that are forthright. I've known a few people like this that you didn't have to dig to find out everything. If you wanted to know, ask them. They'll just tell you forthrightly what happened. I always appreciated that, especially if there was trouble on a job. What really went on? Well, you know, if you ask some people, they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. But then there's some folks that when you ask them, they will tell you exactly what went on the first time. And you don't have to probe anymore because they'll tell you the whole story. Yeah, I was up on a ladder. This $2,000 fascia panel, it dropped. And, I just dropped it. And there isn't any, and then you know what to do about it. You know how to deal with those things. That is something that is rare in people. But we find it in people. And we find that an excellent spirit swings doors open. Who would not want, except a shyster, who would not want somebody of this caliber, as Daniel was, in their top position? They just go to him and ask him, what's happening over here in this province? He tells them. They ask him, what happened? Why did we have this trouble over here in this city? Why was that not guarded? Well, we're going to take care of it. You know, we just overlooked that. You know, then he has something to work with. Folks, an excellent spirit is something that is such a blessing to the holder of it. It opens doors that nothing else could open in our lives. Forthright, good with people. Did you know, I believe that people that have an excellent spirit, they just have a tendency to be good with people too. Because they want to do the right thing. They can deal with people in a way without stomping off and getting all out of sorts. They're not driven by their inward needs, but driven by doing God's will and taking care of business well. Able to control themselves, careful in their deportment, in the way they handle themselves and what they do. Now, we're all going to make some mistakes, and I'm sure that Daniel did. But I believe knowing what kind of character Daniel was, that he was quick to say, hey, I'm sorry. I just shouldn't have said that. I expect Daniel was a real person just like you and me. But he had an excellent spirit about him. And that's what I want to think about this morning. Faithful. You know, we think about another man in the Bible that was like this. In Genesis 39 and 20, we find Joseph. We'll read a little bit there, 3-4 verses, Genesis 39 and 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. You know, Joseph didn't deserve to be in the prison. He hadn't done one thing wrong. This is where he could have lost his integrity. He could have very easily decided, I'm taking things into my own hands and I'm going to even this score up. Joseph could have done that. But the keeper of the prison, it says, verse 20. And put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Do you know this morning, there had to be something about this man that made the keeper of the prison to just give him the keys. How could he give a prisoner that was accused of a crime the keys to the prison? It says the Lord was with him. You know, when we have an excellent spirit, and our spirit only wants to do God's will, God's going to fight our battles for us. Do you know, this man was condemned unrighteously to go to prison. But God went right with him, didn't he? He didn't go there alone. He went there with God. And so we find before long here was Joseph. He had responsibility again. He had, I believe, a life that the rest of the prisoners probably didn't have, because he had things he was doing. He wasn't sitting in a little cell all the time. Some of those men had to sit in a cell all the time. You know, this morning, I just think about these kind of men and women that I've known. And I will tell you, it is a blessing to have those kind of icons, if you want to call them, those kind of people in our lives that we can see how things are supposed to be. I want to contrast that this morning with another. His name was Saul. And you know, the Lord had his hand on this man. He became the king of Israel. And the Lord chose Saul. The Lord saw in Saul something that was worth choosing. And he chose him to be the leader of the people of Israel. And for a little while, Saul did the will of the Lord. For a little while, he focused on God's will. He trusted in the Lord. But so soon, we find him in 1 Samuel 15 and 17. I know we're going to read quite a few scriptures this morning, but I trust God will do what I cannot do. I feel like the Lord has some things for us here that will help us in our life. And Samuel said, 15 and 17 of 1 Samuel, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel?" If you drop down to 19, it says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek." And anyway, he goes on there. Verse 21, it starts, "But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." I want us to notice the difference in this man Saul. And Samuel told Saul, he said, "When you was little in your own sight, when you was just humble and wanting to do God's will, and that was all, the Lord caused you to be king over Israel." And he said here, Samuel was talking to him about him disobeying what God had told him to do. What did Saul begin to do? The first thing he said was, "I have obeyed the Lord." He knew full well he hadn't obeyed the Lord. As we find out later in the reading, if you read on down, you find him fully admitting, well, the people. And so then he goes from denying and saying, "I have done the will of the Lord," to saying, "The people made me do it. The people did it. The people did it. They did what God told them not to do." We find all through Saul's life from this point on, we find a spirit that limited him. And we find from that point on, Saul had troubles. Saul had lots of troubles. And we see here in, verse 22. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Don't give me your sacrifices, Saul. That's not what the Lord told you what to do, and you disobeyed that." And he said here, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." It's like witchcraft, Saul. When you rebelled against God and he told you what to do and you didn't do it, that was like witchcraft. That's a horrible thing in God's eyes. We're his people. And he expects obedience from us, loving obedience. And he says here, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And so I want us to think a little bit this morning. And I just pray that God will help us. Because, folks, there are things that can limit us in our life. They're not always sinful things. There are things that can limit us according to the amount of the flesh on display. That's how much we're going to get limited. Now, for Saul, this was clearly sinful. It was wrong. He disobeyed. He directly disobeyed. Then he lied. And then he blamed it on other people. And all of those things. Saul did that. Do you know that from that point on, God told him, I'm done with you. I can't use you. When you was little in your own sight, I could use you. But when you do your own thing, I can't use you. You know what Saul's problem was? He just wanted to do it the way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it his way. Do you know this morning that greatly limited him? And I want to think a little bit in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We want to look at Paul's writing here to the Corinthians. And he says some things here that really, really can lighten our mind. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I just want to start from there this morning and talk a little bit about this thought that Paul sets forth. He said there is not going to be any flesh that glories in the presence of the Lord. This is huge. Folks, I know that we think of this as it is written, that he said he's chosen weak things. He's chosen things that are despised to bring to naught things that are. He's chosen those kind of things because he said no flesh is going to glory in his presence. Do you know this morning, I believe, and I know this is using this a little more broad, but I believe it still fits, if you'll let me. The flesh is more than just saying that we're mighty or something. The flesh can exalt itself in so many ways in our life. It flies in the face of God when we allow our flesh to exalt itself before the Lord. Whether that be in pride, whether that be in our own selfish behavior. Think of these men that we read about, Daniel and Joseph. Think if their life would have been full of selfishness. Just selfishness. Maybe they would have wanted to do some right things. Maybe they would have desired to do right. But they just were so selfish. So stinky selfish. Can you imagine the shutting of doors? Can you imagine the flesh on display? Can you imagine the Spirit of God coming down and opening that place for Joseph? Can you imagine the Spirit of the Lord going in that strange land in Babylon and opening up the top position right up under the king to Daniel if he's full of himself and full of selfish behaviors? Can you imagine that happening? I can't. I don't think it would have. And I just want to challenge us this morning. I don't want to appear in any way, nor do I have any feeling to get all over us. But you know what this morning? God is looking for folks that will put their flesh to death, that will not let their flesh exalt itself. The best thing we can do if we make some mistakes is to admit it, to say, I'm sorry. Wouldn't that heal a lot of homes this morning? If we just went and said, I'm sorry. I have dealt with people and known people that could not say, I'm sorry. Wasn't in the vocabulary. Can't say I'm sorry. And people that knew them said, they don't say that. They won't say I'm sorry. Do you know this morning that's a grave mistake? Well, the best thing we can do is recognize the flesh when we see it. Because, folks, we all have to grow. But what God is looking for is not a perfect person to start with, but an excellent spirit. He's looking for somebody that He can save. They start clear, so many issues, so many things they don't understand, so many shortcomings maybe in their flesh. And God wants to lead us, and He wants to use us. And many times, these fleshly shortcomings become limiting factors in the work of the Lord. I believe that many times they do. And when we would be able to move forward, our flesh limits that. Now, sometimes the Lord can't anoint because of that. Sometimes the Lord can't open the doors, because if He did and that flesh went in, what would it do? It would create more trouble than ever. And so the Lord is looking for folks with an excellent spirit this morning. A spirit that says, Lord, I want You to work with me. I want You to change me. I want You to humble me. Can we pray to God like that this morning? Can we say, Lord, humble me. I don't ask for a road of ease. And I don't. I ask the Lord, You meddle with Your finger in my life. Please, Lord. I want to make it to heaven. But not only to heaven, I want You to be able to use my life. And I realize the limitations that I can put on myself just by allowing the flesh its place. Now the Lord says there isn't any flesh going to glory in His presence. Folks, we're not going to come up close to the Lord and live a selfish and fleshly life. It's not going to happen this morning. I'm convinced that there are many stories like Daniel that could be written, but they couldn't happen because of the flesh. I'm convinced God wants to do marvelous things with you and me. He longs to do those things, but He's looking for an excellent spirit. Folks, He's not looking for us to be where we're not, but He's looking for us to be on the road to where we want to be. Now, that doesn't mean we have sin in our life. I don't believe in that. But I will tell you this. The Lord wants to purify, to cleanse, to keep us, to change us. He wants us to be able to see us for who we are and say, that's me. I'm sorry, folks. That's me. That was on display. I'm really sorry. Would you pray for me? Do you know that the Scripture tells us when we do that, then we can be healed? That's an excellent spirit, folks. God help us today that the Lord can use our lives. I just wonder if the Lord would unveil His plan. You know, the president, the Senate, those folks, they unveil. Every once in a while it's like, hey, they unveiled the tax plan today. You know, and so it's all this talk. I wonder if the Lord just showed you and me and unveiled His plan, what our reaction would be. But do we limit the Lord this morning? I want to encourage us. Lord, don't let me limit You. Would You work in my life? Would you make me able to be used of You? I believe the Lord wants to use our people. Folks, there is a world all around us that knows hardly anything of true righteousness. And the Lord's looking for some folks to be unselfish, to be kind, to be gentle, to be full of the Spirit and power of the Lord in our lives. Isn't He looking for that this morning? I believe He is. That's not something we can do, folks. But we can provide the Lord with a humble, excellent spirit. Lord, here am I. Would You use me? Would You change me? Would You work in my life? If we could only see the high cost of the flesh in our lives, I believe we'd be more diligent to say, Lord, put me in the fire. Put me in the fire. I don't want to pay that kind of price. Have you seen people pay a high price? Of course we have. More than they can stand to pay. I've seen it over and over this morning. Oh, how the Lord said, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, and I'm not going to give my glory to your flesh. The Lord's not going to do that, is he? Thus saith the Lord, this is in Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But you know, the Lord wants us, he goes on to say, to glory in him, that we know him. That's what the Lord wants us to glory in. This morning, I just pray that the Lord would teach us and help us this morning. I think about the scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:27. And how many times have we heard this scripture? But it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. But you know, I think we don't have to go to the end of the scripture to get some good from it. It says here, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We're not always talking about being a castaway. Sometimes we're just talking about being limited. Is that true? Can that be true? I really believe that this morning. Sometimes we can just talk about being limited. This is as far as you can go. I've seen people many times on jobs be limited, wanting so bad that promotion, wanting so bad to move into that place, but limited because they couldn't be counted on. One day they call in, my tire's flat. Another day they call in, I'm sick. And you know, that's okay the first time, second time. But when it keeps happening, it's like, you sure have a lot of things going wrong. You know, this morning, we have to be able to be counted on, don't we? I keep under my body, Paul said, and bring it into subjection. We have to bring ourselves into subjection. When we see the flesh, we have to admit it, or we can never really get the victory over it. And I believe the best thing we can do is pray with someone about it. Just pray with somebody about it. This is who I am. Would you pray with me? I need help. And it's really nice, especially in a home, when we can do that with one another this morning. I want to talk this morning a little bit about the tongue. I feel like the Lord gave me some things about the tongue. In Proverbs 15:4, we find a very deep saying. Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. What is a wholesome tongue and what is a tree of life? You know, this morning, I looked that up. I did not put it in my notes. But a wholesome tongue it's healthy. It's a good thing. It's something that people can be fed from. It's something that people can prosper under. And so it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. What is a tree of life? That is where, did not the Lord say, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever? Isn't that what the scripture says? And so we see that it is something life-giving. It is something so beneficial. And Paul and the writer of Proverbs here says, a wholesome tongue is like that. But, he says, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. It's a limiting factor. And this morning, our tongue can be a very great limiting factor in our life. I want to read a little definition of some of these words. Perverseness, distortion. Webster says of perverseness, literally turned aside, hence distorted from the right, obstinate in the wrong, disposed to be contrary, stubborn, untractable. Do you know that the writer of Proverbs here says perverseness is a breach in the spirit? That word breach means a fracture, figuratively ruin, affliction, breach, breaking, broken, broken-footed, broken-handed, bruise, crashing, destruction, hurt, vexation. And so he tells us here that a spirit that is distorted from the right and obstinate in the wrong, that it is a breach, it is destruction, it is trouble, it is hurt, it is painful, all of those things. And so I want us just to think about our tongue this morning. God help us to not look at this as, oh, I'm feeling all condemned. Folks, this is where we can really get a hold of God. Lord, get a hold of my tongue. Let me speak the things that are a tree of life to people. I will tell you how to go about that. Begin to seek the Lord on our knees in our closet, our prayer closet. Look to the Lord and begin to trust in Him. Lord, I need Your grace today. I need Your grace. I like to pray, Lord, help me to be kind today. Help me to be gentle. Help me to be honest. Help me to be careful today. Do you know, we're all people, aren't we? And we need the Lord to help us in these ways. And when we have perverseness in our tongue, it's a breach in the spirit. The scripture says in James 4:11, excuse me, speak not evil one of another, brethren. I'm going to cut this a little bit short because we're running short on time. But I'll take that first part of the scripture this morning. James 4:11, the first part says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. I want to ask you something. When that happens, can that be a limiting factor in our work? It sure can, can't it? When we do that, and I will tell you, when we come from the world and we get saved, we have to start really working on these things because old habits don't die real easy sometimes. And we have to begin to let God use our tongue. We have to begin to work on those things. And so we see it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. I will tell you, we make some mistakes in these lines once in a while, don't we? In the vein of it's truth, it's true. It's just true, so I said it. Well, do you know, if we're not careful, we'll pay for that in effectiveness. We'll learn from that if we will, because we all have to learn, don't we? And we have to say, you know what, I need to watch that I don't do that again. Because we can be limited. Because the Lord will be limited by us. And so it gives us great cause to begin to work on those things, doesn't it? It gives us great cause to begin to really labor. Lord, teach me. Teach me how to use my tongue in a way that is a tree of life to people. And that it is a blessing to people. Then the Lord, I will tell you what the Lord can do. If you've been using your tongue like that toward people, and you've been praying for them, you've been calling on God for them in your closet, when you get close to them, the Lord's going to open doors that we can speak our heart to them. That's what He's going to do. And if we don't, doors will shut. And they will be shut to us. And somebody else, hopefully, will be able to be used of the Lord in those ways. I'm telling you from my own experiences, folks, we have to learn to be careful in those things. We read this scripture last week, and I want to read it again. In Ecclesiastes 10:1, it says, dead flies. How many of you like dead flies? We get them as far away as we can. We throw them away or whatever. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Do you know this morning, the flesh on display will be such a limiting factor in our life. And many times it's the ones we love most, the ones we want to see the best for the most, that we are so limited with by these kind of things. This morning, dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. All that work, all that incense, perfume, whatever it was that they made, it stinks. Nobody wants even a little of it. But there's only 3 dead flies in it. But I don't want any of it. That's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way a little folly in our lives can be. Now, I know that, and I've been saying this morning. I know we're just people, folks, but we can have an excellent spirit. We can learn how to deal with our mistakes. We can learn how to grow. We can seek the Lord, and that's what we're wanting to do today. I'm not trying to make allowance for the flesh in that. But, folks, the Lord wants us to grow. We have to admit who we are, what we've done, what we've said. I've found many times, I'll just say this with children, I've found many times the best thing we can do is hear them. Listen to them. What do you have to say? They might be dead wrong, and many times they are as children. But do you know that our humble approach, the right use of our tongue and our heart with them, will most of the time, I believe, break those barriers down. And they find our heart, and they find our excellent spirit. They find how we long for them. They find how we want to do it right. They find how sorry we are that we offended them and didn't realize what we were saying. Now, are they always right? No. But folks, an excellent spirit is something that opens doors. It opens the doors of our children's hearts. It opens doors where nothing else will. It opens doors that the Lord only can open when we allow Him to give to us an excellent spirit this morning. God help us that we won't let the flesh limit us. In Proverbs 21 and 23, it says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." I think that's clear enough. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We all know the one in James 3 and 5 to 6. It says here, "Even so the tongue." James 3 and 5 to 6. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Do you know this morning that only God can tame the tongue? No man, it says, can tame the tongue, but God can. And that's where we want to draw our strength. We have to go to Him and have Him to help us. The Scripture says, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." I'll tell you, the only way that's going to happen is if when we are in our prayer closet, wherever, however that is, when we are in that time with the Lord, if we are blessing people and praying for them and pleading with God for them. "Lord, would you help my enemy? I don't ask you that you slay him. I ask you that you save him. I ask you that you help me to know how, Lord. I'm not asking you to just pour out all your wrath on him. Lord, save him. Help me to be able to tell him something different and show him something different." They say that one of the things that if you read the stories of those that were in communist countries, when the persecutors were coming in on Christians and they found them praying for them, while they were doing their evil, there was nothing that could break through like that. These people are praying not for themselves, not against me. They're praying for me. What more can happen than that? And so this morning, I just pray that God would help us. I want to go a little farther this morning, and we're not going to have time to finish probably. But in Ecclesiastes 5 and 1 and 2, it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." You know, this is scripture this morning. I'm thinking this morning about using our words. And the writer here tells us to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Do you know this morning that we can be limited by these kind of things? And we see it as a fly. It's just a fly. But folks, we may have a lot of good things to say to people, and they want to hear it. But if we don't control that, they won't want to hear anything we have to say. This morning, the Word of God will help us in so many ways to use our tongue to glorify God. To use our tongue, in 1 Peter 4 and 10 and 11, I want to look at what it says here. It says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, we receive gifts from the Lord. And Paul is telling us here, or Peter is telling us here, to minister that. And he says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified." Isn't that wonderful that God has given us the ability to help one another? I come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'll be honest with you, I stand in awe almost every Wednesday night. I listen to the testimonies, I listen to the exhortations, and I have to say, "Lord, that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for ministering through my brothers and sisters this morning." You know, it says here, if we speak as the oracles of God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Strong says an oracle means an utterance of God. Do you know there's a big difference between an utterance of my mind and an utterance of God? I just want us to think about the tongue as the whole scope of the tongue this morning. That we use it as an oracle of God. That we use it as an utterance to declare the things God has given to us. There is nothing so wholesome as an inspired Word of God. As inspired testimonies, inspired scripture readings, inspired things. But folks, we can limit ourselves if we don't speak as the oracles of God. If we speak as what comes to my mind has to be said. Folks, we have to use our tongue that we don't be limited. We have good things to share with one another. All of us here, many of us, all of us that know the Lord, we have good things to share with one another. And we want to hear it. We want to hear it. Let's use our tongue in a way that can be used of God and accepted and loved and revere the Lord for those things. "He that hath knowledge," Proverbs 17:27, He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Here we find it along with the tongue, right here. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Do you know that then people will say, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to be in the Lord's way. I don't want to say anything. That's the flesh too, folks. We're supposed to use our tongue as an oracle of God. We're not supposed to say, I can't say anything. Oh, you don't want to hear me? I don't want to say anything. That's the flesh. We want to use our tongue as an oracle of God, an utterance of what God has given to you and me. May God help us this morning. Folks, I say this with the most heart of desire for all of us, that God would be glorified in all things, and that we, each one, could be most effective this morning. I just think about those things. The Lord help us. Then I saw that wisdom, Ecclesiastes 2 and 13, excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. You know, this morning, maybe we'll just stop there. We're out of time. There is such a price to pay for the wrong use of our tongue. It may be in relationships. It may be in our effectiveness. There are so many ways, but there are so many ways that God can open doors for us as well. If we allow Him that place in our life, if we allow Him to say to us, you're using your tongue in a wrong way, curtail it. Use your tongue to glorify me. I've got good things for you to share this morning. The Lord bless each one of us. You pray for me. I long to do it right. If I don't, maybe you can help me to know better. And maybe the Lord will. The Lord help each one of us today. Guide us. Use our lives. There's nothing so satisfying, and I mean nothing, as the Lord using your life as He would like to. Pray for me.